All right. Thank you, Jesse and Nathan. It is finished. I think that'll go along with the text I'm going to ask you to go to with me here. If you'll go to the book of Joel with me, a little prophetic book. Sometimes we call them minor prophets. There's no such thing, really. They're all major. If it's in God's word, little book of Joel. If you go to Amos, you went too far back up, and you'll pick up Joel. If you go too far back to Hosea, book of Daniel, come back to your right, find Joel for me. Joel chapter 3. I appreciate the good message in song. My text here is going to deal with very much what the young men were doing for us in the special. I didn't know what they were doing, but yes, it's finished. Christ paid it all. He won the battle. But did you realize he's got to come back and take the spoils? Or, in a sense, come back as even creator and fight to take his creation back. Isn't that amazing? The Bible will back that up. That might sound a little strange to some of you. Joel chapter 3. Speak to you a little bit this morning on decision time. We're going to pick that word up in the text here in Joel chapter 3. Decision time. You know, decisions, we have to make them all the time. I think about the guy got him a job at a potato plant. And he said, "What do I do?" He said, "Well, your job is as the potatoes come by on the belt, you put the big ones in this stack. You put the little ones in this stack. You put the middle-sized one in this stack." He worked about a half a day and went and resigned. And the boss said, "Man, that's not a hard job. What's the matter?" He said, "These decisions are killing me." Now, you understand sort of about that. But we all have to make them. But look at it here in Joel chapter 3. Verse 1, "Behold, in those days, in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people, for my heritage Israel, whom they've scattered among the nations." And watch this next statement, "parted my land." Boy, that's occurred in the news today. Now, drop on down with me to about verse 9 for the sake of time. In this same chapter. And it says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles." That's you and I that are not Jews. "Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." Now let me stop there. There's another verse in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 2, about verse 4, that says the opposite. This is telling you to beat your farming tools into weapons. In that verse, it says there'll be a time they'll beat their weapons into farming tools. On the corner of the UN building, United Nations, United Nuts, whatever you want to call them. Anyway, on the corner of their building, they have Isaiah 2 and verse 4 on the corner of that building. The only problem is they leave out the he or God. And that's exactly what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning as we move on to this a little bit. In the context here, we're at the end of the tribulation period as we begin to read now in verse 9. We've got the Gentiles waking up in verse 10. They're beating their plowshares into swords. And then verse 11, "Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen," that's all the nations, "and gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord." The Lord's army here now, verse 11. "Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I set to judge all the heathen around about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great." And here's the typology, symbolically crushing the grapes and reaping the harvest of the crop. God is using that analogy here. And he says in verse 14, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Most Bible students understand the terminology of the day of the Lord. It's when God begins to bring the judgment. And you have a lot about it in the book of Revelation and so forth. And he says it's in the valley, he's calling it the valley of decision. He said in verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Have you ever noticed today when something happens in the sky, everybody looks up, gets their attention, don't it? Try this sometime if you want to be real mean. Walk out in the middle of the parking lot and just start looking up. Have you ever done that? Pretty soon you draw a crowd. Everybody try to see what you're seeing, especially if it's up there, amen? Well, there's a time coming that's going to be something to see up there. No doubt about it, brother, no doubt about it. And it says here in verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Watch this little old word, T-H-E-N. Then shall Jerusalem be holy. I want to tell you something. Jerusalem is no more holy today than some of our biggest cities in America. In fact, Revelation calls them Sodom and Egypt. That's today, but there's a time coming. There's a time. The little old word here says, then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no stranger pass through her anymore. I can't deal with the whole chapter. It's not even my point to expound on what I've read today. But I want to say to you, what you have in this whole big picture, all the nations gathering against Jerusalem, but all of a sudden, they're facing God. The day of the Lord. God's judgment. He's coming back. Do you understand what we're looking at here? When we read this and see this picture, we are seeing a scene where the nations have gathered and really gathered against God. You know how they got there? They got there by decisions, 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 until it took them where they're at. They're in the wrong place. They're hurting now. They'd like to reverse it, but it's too late now. One decision after another has moved them to the place of judgment under God himself. Now, we look around today and we can see those decisions. The news are so, you know what we've had? We've had some big earthquakes and they can't hardly make front page because there's so much evil crowding them out. So much bad news. An earthquake used to be big news. Not anymore. Not anymore. But all these other things that are, we've gone crazy. I was sitting inside of a man yesterday morning when we ate that little breakfast they give you when you take a motel room, and I never met him before, and I doubt he was a Christian. I didn't have time to talk with him much, but the TV was on and it was talking about the restroom scandal. The men wanting to be in the ladies' rooms. And he looked at me and said, can you believe that in America? It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe that we've moved and we've slipped to that position. The Ohio Supreme Court recently started saying that it is wrong to use gender terminology like husband and wife or mother and father or girl and boy. We have absolutely gone crazy. This transgender thing is the most amazing thing that I just can't hardly believe it. And some of the doctors, baby doctors, young people, pediatricians, some of these doctors are saying what an awful thing it is. It's child abuse to try to convince a little boy that he's a girl or a little girl that he's a boy. And do you know that his family's actually giving them drugs to try to help that out and to make a little boy more feminine? That is child abuse. Now you put one speck where it ought to go and you're in trouble. But all this stuff that they're pushing on them and feeding in the public system today, that's the worst kind of abuse, and it's an awful thing that is taking place. But you know, all these people gathered here against God made a decision that led them that way. We're seeing that. I am proud of a few states that's fighting, but they're going to lose. Tennessee is fighting. Alabama, we had Judge Moore right here in the pulpit many years ago, and Judge Moore and a number of the judges in Alabama said the Alabama Supreme Court is making a rule they will not issue gay marriage licenses, no matter what the Supreme Court said. And Tennessee is right there. Florida, our governor, has jumped into it some. But what we've got is we've got a pressure that wants to slap God in the face, and this decision is going to finally bring them into a confrontation with God. If you want more detail about it, you go to the end of Revelation chapter 6, and they're crying for the rocks to fall on them to hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. But it's decisions that took them there. Wrong decisions. Decisions are against God. And this Antichrist spirit that we see in America today is so amazing. Many of you will remember Claude Carter. The family has been with us, and they're up north now, but they sent me this. And, of course, you're seeing this pretty much in the news. This is something they cut out of the paper in Kentucky. We think about Kentucky pretty much being the Bible Belt, and it's not the good folks of Kentucky behind this, of course. The headline here says, atheist groups plan to ridicule the art park. Now, there's some folks up there building a creation-type park and a big replica of the ark and all that business. So what you got is you got the atheists putting up signboards against it. And some of you might want to enroll in this. Listen to it. This proposed billboard is raising money to display as close to the theme park as they can. They're calling the park Genocide and Incest Park, celebrating 2,000 years of myths. That's what they call the Bible story of Noah. Then it's got a picture of the ark, and it's got people outside drowning. But for a $500 donation, you can be one of those people outside drowning and have your picture put on the face. I got news for you. I can't see that. You would like to be in the crowd outside the ark, clawing on the ark and saying, let me in? We've gone crazy, haven't we? This is an Antichrist spirit that I'm talking about. It's growing, and it's growing, and it's going to culminate right in the text that I read. The day is coming, they are going to face God, just like the Bible says. But I want to deal with you a little bit more on this thought. Decisions itself. Something about decisions. Let me talk to you about it just a little bit. Do you know that a decision, you say it's very small, sometime in a moment a life is changed? I mean, there's decisions that are made. For instance, when the Oklahoma bombing took place years ago in the federal building, I know of a man that was supposed to be in there, but for some reason at the last minute, he didn't go in. We had a lady here in the church that was right very close into the 9/11, the towers, when they fell at 9/11. And for various reasons, so many stories, in a moment's decision made a difference whether they lived or died. And we recognize that. We talk about decisions changing a life and that sort of thing. Now, let me just move on it a little bit. Think with me about it. Decisions are a must. They have to be made. Some of you decided to get out of bed, and some of you listening to me on the radio decided not to this morning. Now, I'm playing with you a little bit. I hope if you're in bed, you're there for the right reason. But decisions are a must. You say, I won't make one. That is one. That is one. Daily, our life. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What kind of job are we going to have? Who are we going to marry? Pretty big decisions. Big and little decisions can change your life. Now, there's bigger decisions, the question of life itself. I don't know about you, but as a young man, I thought about why I'm here. What is my purpose? You ever think like that? I mean, biggest thought was, where am I going? And that's still the most important one, amen? Now, truth is that there's all kind of decisions. Do you know why when somebody gets saved, they speak about, and I do and you do, great peace. How they that love thy law? Yeah, great peace. Peace that passeth understanding. The peace of God in our heart. Where does that peace come from? It comes because we know our end. We know how it's going to turn out. that brings peace for the journey. Amen. Somebody said, and rightfully so, no man is ready to live till he's ready to die. And if you know the end's okay, then bless God, we can suffer on the trip a little bit. You know, you travel in a car with my wife, and she'll crowd the front seat out with books and pillars. But I suffer till I get there because I'm looking forward to the end. Amen? Do you men relate to that? I say, honey, we're only going to be gone so many days. You know, well, amen. Anyway, decisions have to be made. And there's little ones here and there. But you know, in my own case, I remember as a young man, I was not in church, didn't know the gospel, didn't know Bible, didn't have any answers, certainly didn't know, but feared where I was going if I died. That would have been me. But it looked like the whole world was pretty dumb. You heard me say this, but I saw men getting up, and I joined the force, getting up before daylight, going to work, working after dark, doing it again, doing it again, doing it again. And if they got a vacation or a few days off, guess what they did? Went hunting or fishing. I thought the white man's the dumbest fellow that could be. He came over here to America. The Indians were hunting and fishing, and the women were doing the work. And he run them off, and he started working. And then when he gets time off, he hunts and fishes. See that cycle? That didn't make sense to me as a young man. What in the world's going on? Well, the truth is, it don't make sense in a lot of cases, if you really think about it. But the decisions are a must. But let me say this. Decisions determine the direction you're going. When we left my son's house up there in West Virginia, we made a decision that caused us to go a certain direction. Understand that? When you get in your car, and with the help of the two ladies in the front seat, your wife and the GPS lady, it helps you make your direction set, right? And I'll have to admit, the older I get, the more I'm appreciating both of them up there. But anyway, truth of the matter is, we made a decision, and the end of that decision got us where we're going. Understand? Decisions determine your direction, the way you're going to travel, not just on a highway, but through life, through life. How about the disciples in the Bible? Jesus come by. Don't think about the disciples just being poor street people. No, some of them were pretty big businessmen. They had their own nets. They had their own fishing industry. It was old enough that some of them had got it from their fathers. And yet they made a decision. The world would have said they're crazy, and still says that today. They left their business. They made a decision to follow Christ. Now, who among us would say they made a bad decision? You say, but they wound up dead for it. Uh-huh, but where are they at now? Amen. I mean, the truth of that matter, it was a life-changing decision that those our disciples made at that time. And I'm not standing here and tell you that if you decide to follow Christ, it'll be easy. Sometimes it's not. There's no easy button religion, even though a lot of folks want to say that. The Bible tells us that you can easily make a mistake. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you understand why the Lord would like for you to take the straight and narrow way and follow him? There is another power that would like to get you on the wrong road. And we're seeing that so big today. There's a wrong road that seems right. Let me say, if you've been saved, it's still possible as a Christian to be traveling the wrong road and not enjoying the trip to heaven that is your right to enjoy, because the truth is you've made some decisions that's got you going the wrong direction, is what it amounts to. Wavered Christian, cold and bitter, somebody hurt my family, somebody hurt me, all fouled up in your thinking. You say, well, how do I fix that? Go back wherever it was you made some bad decisions and get on the right road. Make the right turns. Get it cleared up. One of the good things about turning down the wrong road is you have the chance, when you realize it, to turn around and go back. And truth is, in life with the Lord, He gives you a chance to turn around. We can call it repent, and rightfully so in so many ways, but at the same time, we got to be willing to say, Lord, Your way is the right way, my way is the wrong way. And if I'm going the wrong way, I want to get back Your way. And a lot of heartache comes even from born-again believers trying to do their own thing, go their own direction, and not being willing to turn around and follow the Lord. You know, sad truth is, it happens. It happens. We see it from time to time. Really, if things are going wrong, think about when it started. Be honest about what decision you made you shouldn't have made. What did you do that God said don't do? What was it you should have done that He said, but you refused to do it? And the truth is today that a lot of folks make decisions and forget the decisions are a must, but they're going to determine your direction. And here's the big thing, they're going to determine your destination. That's right. Leave one state to go to another, make the right turns, you can get there. But you'd make the wrong turns, you can go the long way, the hard way, if you want to. But if you don't have the right direction, you're not going to go at the end up at the right destination. You know, nations have been heading, as we see here in the text, the wrong way for a long time. That's why they're facing God and He's coming back in judgment. Decisions, He said. That's what brought them there in the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's what brought them here under the judgment of God. No doubt about it. Nation's been heading that way a long time. For instance, this week I heard our vice president on the news say that Israel has got to have pressure put on them to accept the two-state solution. That's a joke. See, the whole argument I read here in the text about dividing the land, about, listen, America as a whole, from Harry Truman on in 1948, we got on Israel's side. We've had different presidents that were strong for them and some that was weaker. Now, like it or not, we got some that's dead against them. And that's what it amounts to. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to be in that all-nation group. Bad decisions is going to take us there. Bad decisions. It's too bad, but it's true. President Obama was in London this week apologizing again for the restroom law that had been passed in North Carolina. Isn't that amazing? Somebody gave me some cartoons this morning. The cartoonist's been having a ball with this thing. And I'd already thought about this. I was reading where some, public restrooms, so-called, and they're going to try to include the church in that before it's over with. But right now, government restrooms, they can pick any room they want to. And just ridiculous. But I thought if they're going to make us build a third restroom, I already know what I'd write over the door. Perverts. Amen. It's crazy, isn't it? It really, really, really is. Really, really amazing. But those decisions have consequences. Consequences is what I read here in the text, where they're going to face God as a result of the bad consequences. Be against Him. Can you imagine God raising up His mighty ones, as the text says, His army coming back, and His very creation, His very creatures are resisting Him? Yes, He won it on the cross. Yes, He finished it on the cross, but it's never been surrendered to Him. He's going to have to take it as it was. By force. Here's the end of the tribulation period in the text. And very soon, the millennial reign, the kingdom of Christ, the golden age, He'll set it up. But Revelation 19 says He has to lead the armies of heaven back on the white horses of heaven to take over. But you see, the decisions determine the direction, and we're traveling fast the wrong direction, as not only as America, but other nations against God. We'll have a destination. Going to take us to a destination facing God in judgment. Now, you know my position. I believe the saved are going to be raptured out before the text I read right here. And while we take great comfort in that, we ought to understand something. The rapture is only a small blimp on God's whole plan. His whole plan is when he brings his son back and sets him on Zion's hill. Sets him up there to receive the glory that is supposed to be his, that is not being given to him today. If you want to get in trouble, just mention Jesus in a public place, like public school and some other places. That's really sad, but that's where we're at. But the decision determines the direction. The direction determines the destination. And I ask you today, what kind of decision have you made? Because it's going to determine your destination. What kind of decision have you made concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loved you and died for you on the cross of Calvary? Have you decided to give him the position that's rightfully his, or have you decided against him? That decision's going to determine where you wind up. Where you wind up. Jesus said, except you repent. That means turn around. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. God's way or my way? No, just his way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's his way, no other way. And that's what the world is resisting today and fighting today. God made a male and female, and if we believe that, there wouldn't be none of this other junk concerning restrooms and all that foolishness. But you see, that's in the face of God. Our decision's against God. But the decision of what you do with Jesus Christ is going to determine where you wind up. Heaven or hell? The destination? The decision is made now. You know, you can hear the gospel, how Jesus loved you and shed his blood for you. You can hear how he invites you to accept him, trust him, let him finish it for you. That was singing about a while ago. Finish the payment for your sin for you. You can hear all that, but it's still up to you to decide his way or my way, his way or the world's way. Which way you're following is going to determine where you wind up, folks. This morning, you're making a decision for or against Jesus. If you haven't trusted him, he's asking you to trust him. You've heard his preacher. You've been in his house. You've heard his book. We invite you to come and make a decision to receive the Lord Jesus. That means turning from your way to his way. That means making a decision now. At the end of the journey is going to be heaven. To make the wrong decision now, you're going to end in the lake of fire. You say, nobody'd choose to do not. Yes, they do all the time. Yes, they do. This morning, you have the chance to make the right decision. Let me tell you what's going to happen to you as you debate the decision you're going to make this morning. You're going to have three little voices, as it were, in your head. One of them is going to be the voice of intellect. It's going to say, it's reasonable. I couldn't pay for my own sins. God loved me enough to pay for them. That's a reasonable thing. So your little voice of intellect will say, it's reasonable. Your voice of emotions, deep in your soul, that little voice will cry out and say, I love it. Him that done that for me, I want him. And my soul's at stake. And that little soulish voice will say, get saved. But there's one that has the final vote. That's the little vote of your will. Whosoever will may come. You got to make a decision. I will, I won't. And that's what you'll do today. It won't be that it's not reasonable in your head. It is. You know you can't save yourself. It's not that your soul is not crying out and saying, hey, I'm the one going to live forever. Don't risk me. And in your emotion, you'll say it's the right thing to come to Christ. But whosoever will, you are going to make a decision in your will. Don't go out of here blaming the preacher or the church or your friends or your family. It's your decision. The Bible says in John 1:12, unto as many as received him, to as many as received him, unto them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You want to get the power to be a Christian, you've got to receive him. It's a choice. So will you or will you not? Whosoever will may come. Will you come this morning? Will you make a decision to receive Christ? If not, that decision has got you going in a direction, and that direction is going to end up at a destination. Is it the place you want to go or not? Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, "Preacher, I remember when I made a decision for Christ, I received Him, I trusted Him, and it was a life-changing moment, preacher. My life's never been the same since." I can say that. I can lift my hand and say that. Never been the same. Can you say that? Oh, what a decisive moment it was when I heard about the Lord Jesus and received Him. Thank you. You may put them down. Are you here today and you'd say, "Preacher, I've heard it before, and I'll admit I've never come to receive Him. I've heard it was right, and there's a war in my very being that says it's right, but I've never made that decision. Preacher, pray for me that I will while I have the chance." Would you lift that hand for prayer? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I'll have you in mind as I pray. Would you lift that hand? Very well, let's stand, please. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, there'll be decisions made in this room. There'll be decisions made in radio land. And Father, those decisions are going to ultimately determine the destination that people are going to arrive at. Lord, I read a portion here and didn't get into all the detail, but Lord, the nations, whole nations, armies are going to be gathered to face you in battle over Jerusalem, over your plan. And Father, in their fear, they're going to cry out for the rocks and mountains to hide them from your face. But Father, it was bad decisions, defiant against you, that took them to that place. I pray you'd help folks realize today a decision right now can be the most important moment they've faced in their life. And I pray if there's one here without Jesus, they'd come. I pray you'd help Christian people to say, "Lord, I'm going to quit pulling against you and go your way and enjoy the peace and joy that comes from being on my way to heaven." I pray you'd bless this invitation, Father, and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step down front. If you'll come to the altar, come meet me if you want to receive Christ, and tell me so.